Good to be back with you again. Do want to thank Rodney again for the invitation and also for the warm words of welcome, and also to you as well for your welcome today. It's great to be back amongst you and amongst many that I know, many friends, and as I say, colleagues, should I say, in the work as well. And as I say, great to have the four men that work with us, and they not only work here in Clenavon, but some of them are able to work others as well. You'll see that this evening. They're able to help us in other places, and we value that so much, and I know that they enjoy it, and as I say, it's been tremendous how the Lord really has been blessing us over these summer months, and hopefully you can get a little taste of it this evening. One of the things that's hard to do is just to convey it exactly as to what the Lord has been doing and how the Lord has been blessing us, and so say hopefully this evening you can sort of taste it or get a little taste of it all. Can I say thank you for your prayers? God has been answering prayer. I love the words of Ephesians where it says about God, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And that to me sort of blows my mind away, because we limit God, don't we? We look at situations and we say, God, how could you work in this situation? How could you save these people? How could you change that life? How could you transform that life? That's what we think. But the scriptures tell us He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And for us as an organization, this past summer has just been amazing. I've been laboring for years. I'm going to take you this evening to Yall, where Colm was with us, and that's our eighth year there, and just to see what God did there. Absolutely incredible, and in other places as well. But I want to read, first of all, just from God's Word. We'll not put it on the screen, but I just want to read a number of verses, draw a couple of things out of it, because once I get going on coaching for Christ, 7:30 will come very quickly for me. Anyway, it mightn't be for you, but I just want to draw a number of things out so I'm not just leaving it and cramming God's Word in at the end. God's Word, absolutely central to our lives, absolutely central to our Christian faith. And 1 Corinthians 9. And the last two verses of 1 Corinthians 9 are most interesting verses. And just in a couple of previous verses, Paul talks about using all means to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we don't just box it all in and say, well, this is the only way. It's all means, but in all means, we must make sure we're preaching the word of God. That's what's central. But there's so many other ways we can reach people. And for us in Coaching for Christ, we're using sport, particularly football, to reach boys and girls. Our work has expanded into other things over the past number of years. And the opportunities that has given us to reach people with the gospel has been amazing. And what we then see actually is, as Paul has talked about all means so that some would be saved, he then actually talks about sport. Some people would nearly argue and say, well, sport is not in the Bible. We shouldn't involve ourselves in sport. Well, Paul quite often referred to sport, and this is one of the places that he does it. And he actually refers to two sports. And the first sport that he refers to is running, that of athletics. We have seen a lot of that on TV recently with the Olympics, the Paralympics, and we think even of young Bethany Firth, a young Christian girl. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, a young Christian girl who won three golds and a silver at the Paralympics there, and from Seaford, and she, as I say, the most successful athlete for Team GB this summer. And as I say, Paul referred to sports, and it would seem that he was referring to Olympic sports. And running is one of them, and that's what he's talking about from verse 24 to 26. And then he talks about another sport in verses 26 and 27. And he says these words, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, but this is the other sport he talks about. He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's the other sport that Paul's talking about? Well, I used to think that was wrestling, but actually it's referring to boxing. Paul's referring to boxing. Boxing was a sport of his day. Boxing, we know, is a sport of the present day as well. But there's a number of things that Paul mentions here with regards to boxing, with regards to helping us in our Christian lives. The Apostle Paul was greatly used by God, and often I ask the question, well, why was Paul used by God in such a mighty way? And in many places in Scripture, we get little snippets of why God used him in a mighty way, and I believe we see here a number of things that certainly were a help and a challenge to Paul in Christian service, and something that is good for all of us to be ever mindful of. Three things I just want to highlight. First of all, we see here that with regards to the boxer, Paul desired weightiness. He desired weightiness. Now, one thing that's familiar with the boxer is his weight. It's probably familiar to all of us. So many of us feel, well, we're always fighting against it and afraid to stand on the scales. Well, when it comes to a boxing match, well, we see it on TV. The two boxers have to stand on the scales. They have to get weighed. It's so that they fit into the right category. Because, of course, there's the different categories for the different weights. There's no point in having somebody 6 foot six who's maybe 18 stone fighting against somebody 5 foot six who's only maybe 9 stone. It would be like a David and Goliath all the time. But to have them into the correct weight sections. But yet whenever we talk here about Paul desiring weightiness, I'm not actually talking about how much he weighed as a person. I'm talking here about how much his service impacted others. Because the boxer, whenever he's in the gym or in the ring, what is it he wants? He wants to be throwing punches that's going to have an impact. He wants there to be weight to it so that has a greater impact upon others. And what is it Paul says here in verse 26? He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm sure we're all familiar with the term shadow boxing. You see, that's not what Paul wanted. Shadow boxing is what the fighter will do in the gym whenever he's training and so forth. And you see it there on news bulletins. He's fighting away, but there's nobody in front of him. It's not having any impact. Yes, it's maybe having an impact on him. It's helping his body train for the real fight. But whenever he gets into the ring, he doesn't want to be somebody who's throwing punches but is having no effect whatsoever. And as Paul shared the gospel, Paul's prayer was that it would have weightiness to it. It would impact others. It would impact the people of this world. And how we know that is something that Paul saw as he lived in this world. He wasn't one who just went around, as it were, preaching the gospel that beateth the air. No, God used it. And how we know that it needs to be backed up with prayer. It needs to be bathed in prayer. It needs that foundation of prayer to it all and living a holy life. And again, that's something that you see whenever we go on in this. Because Paul, not only did Paul desire weightiness, what we see is that Paul dreaded worthlessness. He dreaded worthlessness. The end of verse 27, he says these words, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway, it simply means disqualified. Paul dreaded being disqualified. And that's something that can happen sometime to boxers. I think the most prolific disqualification was whenever Mike Tyson was fighting Evander Holyfield back a number of years ago. I think it was in the second or third round. What is it Mike Tyson did? He bit the ear off Evander Holyfield. He more or less bit the ear off him. And he was disqualified. And Paul, he's saying here, he says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he didn't want that he would be disqualified. And how we need to remember that in our Christian lives, an unholy life can leave us disqualified. Not lose our salvation, but can harm our testimony. I'm not saying that we can't get our way back or there's no way back, because God is a God of grace and God is a God of restoration, but so often it can impact our effectiveness for the gospel. To say if we live an unholy life or we do something that, well, to say we know God forgives, God forgets, but so often the people in the world don't be so forgiving and so forgetting. And Paul, I'm sure, was well aware of that, and he longed that he would live a holy life that would enable him to be able to serve God more effectively. Say he desired weightiness, he dreaded worthlessness, but then what we see also is that Paul disciplined weakness. He disciplined weakness. Verse 27, the first part of what does he say? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's what the boxer has to do, isn't it? Boxer leading up to a big fight, you're not going to find him in the local chippy with a big fish supper or anything like that. He's in the gym, putting himself through things that probably he doesn't want to do. He makes sure when he's out of the gym that he's eating properly, that he's still living a healthy lifestyle so that his body is ready for the fight. And isn't it that we're living in a world where there's temptation all around us, so many things that the devil wants us to be involved in, but oh, we need to realize that for us to live a holy life, we have to be disciplined. Disciplined like the boxer. Because the boxer will so often have to say no to so many things, and for us in the Christian life, isn't that what we need to do? With the help of the Holy Spirit. Say no so that we are living holy lives, so that we are a people who are different in this world, and that our minds are ready for the battle that we engage in, so that our minds are able to say no to the devil. Whenever he presents all the temptations against us and seeks to draw us away into a place where we will be disqualified. See, Paul refers to sport. He refers to the boxer. Say something that was prominent in his day, and again, is something that is prominent in our day. And indeed, our prayer is that, to say that for all of us, that we live that holy life that will truly be effective for God. So say we want to thank you for your prayers for us for over these months, indeed for all the year round, because as you know our work is all the year round. And whenever I was last here, I think it was January time, I shared a number of things that we were working on, and just to bring you up to date really on these things, one of the things that we've been working on is our New Testament. And this is something that really excited us over the last winter, as really we worked on this and prepared for it to come in and are getting it in and giving it out to boys and girls. As you know, so many boys and girls in today's world, they don't have a copy of the Word of God. Many homes don't have a copy of the Word of God. Somebody was sharing me even this morning about a home locally here that didn't have a copy of the Word of God, and through Coaching for Christ, through the Clonavon team, we were able to get them a copy of the Word of God. And really last winter we were in conversation really with a company known as Biblica, who print the New Testament. And well, I think they print the Old Testament as well. But they allowed us to design the cover for it, front and back covers. And then also, 8 pages they were given to us inside, where we could put all our own material, our own stuff, and a number of things that we wanted to put into that. And that's the cover there. If you haven't seen it, it's already been given out in the Clonavon team. But we had a number of pages to do with our own information or testimonials. And then we wrote this short sort of way of salvation, like a gospel tract from the perspective of football, about wanting to join a team. I'm sure. See, that's what kids want to do. Their dream of joining Man United or City or Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea or whatever. And that's their dream. And really, we talked about, I'm sure you want to join God's join a team, but God has a team. And God's team's always victorious. It's always victorious because of what Christ did on the cross, and that he defeated sin, death, the grave, and Satan through his victory on the cross. But then also, you can join God's team because the fee has been paid. The transfer fee has been paid in full when Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And then it goes on to talk, actually, in the next page, it's not shown there, how you can join God's team, the ABC of salvation.
and, as I say, experience that. We also have a little help page. It's a bit like sort of what you're seeing, maybe something like the Gideon's New Testaments and so forth. Well, we've taken it, put it onto something that is lots of kids are familiar with, the mobile phone, and you see the little things there of really things that we felt would apply to them. For example, if they're moving to a new school, a verse in the scriptures they can turn to, or if they're suffering from peer pressure or feeling lonely, things like that, to say they can turn to and find help in the Word of God. And as I mentioned back in January time, these were costing £1 each, and that really was our project throughout the winter time. And whenever we came to end of March. We were able to order 10,000 of these. And we thank God for that, for his generosity. If you've given to that, we want to say a big thank you for that. As I say, because we were able to order the 10,000, and a few weeks later, 10,000 of them arrived in. 10,000 reasons, that's a popular song nowadays. Well, we had 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. And as I say, do pray for these. Pray for them as they have been given out to many over the whole summertime. And to say that's what it's all about, getting it into the hands of kids. And that they would take it, they would read it, and that they will come to know the Savior. Some might read it now, some it might be years later, years to come. Because that's what we hear with the likes of Gideon's. Gideon's could tell you umpteen stories of people who got it in first year in school. They put it in a drawer or put it on a shelf, but years later they turned to it, and there they found the Savior. But we pray that over these days that many will come to know the Lord, and as I say, likewise for all in the Clonavon team, as I say, that they will take the Word of God and they will read it and come to know the Savior. And as I say, it's been our joy giving it out over the summertime. We haven't heard back any stories yet of it, but I think of down in Dundalk. Dundalk, we were doing a camp there, and I remember on the Thursday I was doing the talk, and I referred to Romans 10 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we give out the New Testaments just at the end of that session, and I was amazed. A couple of the boys came to me and they said, "What was that verse in Romans?" And I was amazed, even that they actually remembered the book of Romans, because they don't read the Bible. They came and they said, "What was that verse in Romans that you were talking about?" Because they wanted to read it for themselves. They wanted to see it for themselves. So pray for the kids that as they have received it, and as we continue to give it out throughout the winter time, and give it out and to many others, pray that the Lord will bless his word. We've started an under-17s team. A number of years ago, we mentioned about our assessment center. That was all started really for 14-year-olds, because our work is up to the age of 13. And we were concerned a number of years ago, what do we do about them whenever they turn 14, 15, 16 and so forth? We don't have enough coaches to run an under 15 league or anything like that. And the assessment center has gone really well for us, but many of the ones who started in the assessment center, well, they're now under 17. And we actually have decided to do something this year we've never done before. We've entered them into the South Belfast under 17 league. Now, that covers a big area, and this has given them competitive football. And there they go, and they're not all saved, but certainly as a team seek to be a witness. They'll pray before the matches. They'll gather into the center circle even at the end of the match, even when the other team are gathering themselves together. Well, our guys will get in there and just pray at the end of it, and they're not ashamed to do that. And pray for them. It's been a slow start. First game, they didn't do so well. They lost 10-1, but they had no pre-seasons whatsoever. And then they lost 7-1. Then last week, they won 4-3. So they were delighted with that. Yesterday, heard they missed about 7 golden opportunities, and they lost 4-3. But things are going the right way. But most of all, it's about our coaches as well, getting alongside them and being able to share with them and being a help to them in life. There's a number of ones we've been asked already to pray for who have got alongside our coaches and have shared with them things that are going on in their lives and need prayer for. So do pray for us, because these are crucial years, aren't they? It's teenage years, that's when Satan wants to get hold of lives, young lives, take them away from the things of God, take them into a pathway that'll do what? That'll destroy them. Because isn't that what we're told in John 10 and verse 10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. As I say, sadly, those are the years that that happens with so many. Pray for the influence of the coaches, and likewise for the man there who's working with Clonavin. Young men who are young boys who are coming into teenage years. And those are years where Satan was trying so much to get hold of them. But that our lives as coaches would have a tremendous influence and impact upon them. So pray for the under-17 team. Pray, say, for all the work. One of the things that we have done over the last number of months as well is training others. We have our training academy, which is training people to be sports evangelists, but not everybody's able to go to that. So one of the things we decided that we would do for 6 weeks there back in March and April on a Tuesday evening was a football camp ministry training course. Training people how to work, be involved in summer camps, how to run their own summer camps as churches. Say, we work with a lot of churches, but there's a lot of churches we have worked with in the past who now run the camps themselves. And this was really for those who were coming up to their final year with us and could come and get all the training. And I think there was about 21 did the course all together. And they've been out involved in their summer camps. And running them has just been amazing. We have been involved in some of them. And just to see how they were able to run the camps themselves. And again, reaching kids with the children. There's quite a number there from Ballymoney Baptist Church. They ran their own camp this year. And there was 3 or 4 kids got saved at their camp this year. There was a couple of others who came to us because they were going overseas. One guy who was going to Canada with another organization, and he was going to be running a soccer camp out there. Another guy as well was going to Albania, or a number of ones, actually, from the Crescent Church in Belfast. They were going to Albania, and there they were able to run a soccer camp for the first time. As I say, it's having an impact, reaching out into other parts of the world, and we rejoice in that. Do pray for this new venture. I mentioned it this morning, iCricket, indoor cricket. If you're if you want to have a bit of fun just playing cricket, I described it all to you this morning. It's as clear as mud, wasn't it? The description this morning. But this is indoor in our sports hall out in a Ahuako, in our centre, and it's very fast paced. Everybody can play in it, and if you'd like to be involved in that, well, just let me know. Cost is £3 per night for adults. But really what we plan to do then is between the two innings, that there we share the word of God. And pray for unsaved ones come to this. This is my background the last number of years since I moved up here. I've started to play cricket. I joined the Ballymena Cricket Club, got to know a lot of there. And it would be great to see a number of them come along. Some of them came to our quiz night that we had back earlier in the year. Some of them say, quite a number of them not saved, but pray that this may be a means of reaching them with the gospel and seeing them come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a busy summer. Thank you again for your prayers for the summertime and for what we've seen God do. It's just been amazing. Well, it was typical Irish summer. Some places you went, the weather wasn't so good. This was in McCosquin, and we thought we were going to get flooded, so we did. And that's the way where they set up the refreshments table and all. And it was like Niagara Falls flowing down through it, so it was. It rained that heavy, so it was. But thankfully, we got sunshine, a lot of the camps. We did have a really good summer, lots of kids that came, many kids, unchurched kids who came, and there we were able to do the coaching with them, share the gospel with them. Of course, this year was a big year with Northern Ireland and the European Championships, or the Euros, and that appeared quite a bit in the talks, and that was something we were able to use and to share the gospel with them. And as I say, we traveled north, south, east, and west, and they're able to share the gospel. And this here, I think, really sums up our one day. This is one, certainly my highlight of the summer, time and time again, as we met together with the churches that we work with, and we always prayed before and afterwards. And we have really seen God answer prayer. To see Him move in lives, there's no greater joy than young kids coming at the end of the session or at the end of the talk or at the end of what we call team time and saying, I want to get saved. So say, that's what it's all about. Because playing football, if they were the greatest footballer ever, won all the trophies, won all the medals, well, it'll never get them into heaven. But it's only in trusting Christ. And as I say, that's what our greatest joy has been. One of the greatest blessings this summer certainly has been down in Cork. And Colm was with us. There was what? I think there was 11 of us on the team in Cork, down in Youghal, not Youghal. They pronounce it Youghal. And Youghal, just down, you can see there on the southeastern part of Ireland there, just Cork City. On the left side there, the bottom right photograph, with you know the map there, over on the left is Cork City. And Youghal is east of it. In fact, I think it's the most northern town in Cork County. Because literally when you drive out of Youghal, drive over the bridge, just as you come out of Youghal, you're into County Wexford. But Youghal is a place that we've been going now for 8 years. And we've been going there longer than most any other camp because it's a very different situation. The church, in fact, that we work with, Youghal Baptist, it was only founded in 2011. Coaching for Christ started there in 2009. A guy by the name of Mervyn Scott was seeking to plant a church there. He invited Coaching for Christ in to help him get known in the community to go and to reach people and share the gospel with them. And they said it was 2011 before an actual church was formed. And Mervyn then left the church a number of years ago. He is now the director of Baptist Missions. And this couple are now in charge of the work down there, Paul and Kate McFarland. They're from Ballymoney. And we can see God's hand on it in an amazing way, because one of the things we're talking about is how can we hand this over to them, that they can take it on, or they have that real ownership and doing the most of the coaching themselves. And whenever I showed you the photograph of the training nights that we did, who was the biggest group that was there? People from Ballymoney, from Paul's Church, Ballymoney Baptist. And they're already discussing now how they could actually have a team go down from Ballymoney Baptist and do the coaching down there so that that work is able to continue. And of course, for a church, a local church, to be able to work with one of their missionaries is something that always brings that added interest and added excitement. Pray for Paul and Kate, and pray that the Lord will continue to bless them as they serve the Lord down in there. We had a tremendous time this year. We didn't have as many kids because we cut back on the numbers a bit to try and help with the development of it for the future and them taking it on themselves. One of the things as well that happened this year that hasn't happened before was they did the talks, and that was Paul doing the talk on the Monday morning. And you can see there's almost 100 kids there on the Monday morning, in fact, every morning, and it was just tremendous to share the Word of God with them. This year, we noticed immediately on the Monday, whenever we went into team time, this is done just after we do the Bible talk. We take them in their teams, or two teams, and we go and we sit them down, and there's Colm with one of the guys from the church, Paul, and with the two teams that they had that morning, and they're just sitting talking to them about the Word of God, seeking to challenge them about what they've heard, making sure they understand what they've heard, and letting them ask questions as well. And certainly there was a number of us on the Monday morning noticed, especially from the older ones, it was a 6 to 12 year olds, and we noticed that with the older ones, there were some really interesting questions. We could see that here's kids that are genuinely interested. And it's taken a lot of work over the years, because when the coaches first went there, kids knew nothing about the Word of God and knew nothing about salvation. But we've seen a progression over the years, and it has just been absolutely amazing. And I'll never forget the Wednesday morning of this year's camp. The Wednesday morning was something so different, because the Wednesday morning after we did the talk, well, I was in charge of the session, so I didn't have a team. And I was the one sort of looking after everything, the timing of it all and blowing the whistle. And whenever you get to the team talk, the only thing that happens after that then is match time. And that's what kids always want. So often you'll hear kids saying, oh, when are we starting the matches? When are we playing the matches? But we came to the team time on that Wednesday morning, and I was the one sort of say, keeping an eye on the watch, and I would blow the whistle so that they can go and play the matches. Well, I was walking up and down the center of the pitch, keeping an eye on everything, see how the team times were going. And to be honest, as I came down the pitch again, I noticed that there was something different. There was a tremendous stillness on the pitch. Remember, there's almost 100 kids. I remember coming across to the table where we'd served the refreshments from, a lady there from the church, Noreen. I said to Noreen, I says, Noreen, there's something happening here. She says, do you think so? I says, yeah. I says, there's a real stillness in it all. And just as I was saying that, one of our coaches, he called Paul over. What we had agreed was, if kids ask about salvation, show genuine interest in it or real interest in it, that we bring somebody from the church in. And they're able to discuss with them. Because remember, it's a different culture. It's a Roman Catholic culture. And somebody from the local community, say from the local church, we feel is able then to understand better what the kids are on about if they're asking questions. And one of our coaches, Rodney, called Paul over. And then as I looked around the pitch, I could see other coaches actually who were praying with kids. What we know is that by the end of that team time, there were 17 kids that had put their trust in the Lord. 17, which was absolutely amazing. And it was just so special. Because what really showed to me that God was at work was the stillness amongst the kids in the team time. The way they were talking to the coaches, listening to the coaches. In fact, I let the team time run on because I knew there was something happening. And eventually then when I did blow the whistle, this was what really amazed me. Not one child got up wanting to play football. That's what they normally want. They want to go and say, when are the matches starting? But whenever I blew the whistle, remember there's almost 100 kids. There was not one that stood up and was keen to get playing football. Many of them sat on. In fact, they all sat on. And we know that at the end of that session, there were 17 that had trusted the Savior. And many others that afternoon, many others on the Thursday, what we know is about, I think it was 30 altogether that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ at that camp. Pray for them because they're in a different culture. Pray for the church of all the contacts. They're going to follow all that up. And pray that the churches will be able to disciple them. And pray indeed these kids will be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in that. It says, taking a lot of years, sowing the good seed of the Word of God, plowing the land and sowing the seed. And isn't it wonderful when God works in a mighty way? The other camp that we were doing in the afternoon, there were five of us every day, left Yall and went across to a place called Passage West. Cork City on the left, so it was usually about a 45-minute drive, and there we went to work in Passage West. This is our third year, and Passage West, population of about 10,000 people, no evangelical witness. Well, that is until a number of years ago. We work with a couple of guys who are there trying to plant a church. They work out of Swords is north of Dublin, Douglas Baptist Church. Which is on the southeastern side of Cork City. And it's only about 4 or 5 kilometres out to Passage West. And these couple of guys, they live in Passage West. And they're trying to plant a church there. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord will help them again. Say what they're doing is they're seeking to use us to help them make contact with the kids, through the kids make contact with the parents. And as I say, their prayer is that through that, God will form a church. The weather wasn't always good because there's actually kids in that photograph. There's footballers there. That was on the Wednesday afternoon. The mist descended on us and we couldn't even see the other side of the pitch. But we had a great time. And say every day teaching the Word of God. This fellow Greg taught the Word of God each day. And as I say, he's one of the ones seeking to plant the church there, working with another guy called Shane Dean. And as I say, there each day, we had over 50 kids. A couple of years ago, it started off. I think we maybe had about 30. It has grown. And maybe the photograph there doesn't show it up as well. We had a group of kids this morning, this year in the session that the church were really excited about all the kids coming. But there were 11 kids that they were really excited about because they're Syrian refugee kids who moved to Ireland, from August, so now is what, they're in Ireland now about 9 or 10 months. And those kids are lovely kids. A close-up of some of them there. Quite a number of them speak excellent English. And it was just tremendous to have them because they're from a Muslim background. And the church had been reaching out to their families. Three families, say, with 11 kids. And the church have been reaching out to them and told them about the soccer camp, invited these kids along. So 11 of them came every day. Great, great kids. Lovely, beautiful kids. And just so appreciative of it all. And pray for them. Whenever we came to the end of it all in the Bibles, so the New Testaments, normally we give them out at all the camps. We always got the approval of the churches. But there what we decided was that because with these kids, we would offer to them. It was up to a child to decide whether they take it or not. We explained to them what it was, and it was their choice. And what we know is that quite a number of those Syrian kids, they took the New Testament. It's now in their homes. Pray for it. Pray that God will bless that, that God will use that, and indeed that their lives will be transformed. I know their parents said that the kids thoroughly enjoyed the week and they really appreciated us having them for the week. And so did the other kids. There's one of the young boys, he did his own drawing for us. That's the Coaching for Christ top. Looks like it anyway. But he did that. He drew it all out and wrote a note to thank us for that. And as I say, just tremendous to whenever kids do that and they take the time to show their appreciation. As I say, Colin was with us each day. There was the five of us working there and say just tremendous to be involved in that. But not only have we been working in camps north, south, east and west of Ireland, we've been traveling this year to other parts of the world. Just going to take you very quickly to one of our one of the trips that I've been on. Say this year we've been to India, there's Scotland, England, Spain. There's been three trips to Spain. But back in July time, there were seven of us that went out to Canada. I've been out there the last couple of years doing deputation work, promoting the work, and really with the thought of a team going out there and helping churches. Soccer's on the increase in Canada. And we want to be able to help churches to reach out, and we were invited to a place called St. Thomas. There's the map. That's South Ontario. Up in the top right, there's Toronto. On the right-hand side, you have Niagara Falls and crosses over into America and Buffalo there, just on the right-hand side. Down the extreme left is down into America as well, Detroit. But in between it all is St. Thomas. And St. Thomas is where we were invited to. I had contacts there, and a church there invited us to go out there. A population about 36,000, so I think it's a similar size to Ballymena. We went to work with a church known as Faith Church. And they also have their own school with over 100 kids in the school. But this church would have about 700 or 800 that go to it. This is the team that went, and seven of us, five of us who are full-time with Coaching for Christ, but there are two that joined us just for the week. Michael on the left, who's a student, and then Catherine, third from the left there, who's a teacher. And tremendous to have them, a real blessing to us. And Catherine there, well, always highlight her because everybody thinks, well, I need to be a coach. I need to have all the qualifications or good knowledge of football. Well, Catherine will tell you she knows nothing about football, but she has a love for the kids. And she joined us on our team, and just a tremendous asset to the team. And I'm just going to play a little video now, just going to let you hear from one of the parents out in Canada, just the impact of it all, and then really after that I'll just bring it all to a close.
So our first interaction with Coaching Group for Christ was in the fall of 2014 when Alan came to our church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. He spoke to our church about the program, about the organization, and how their main purpose was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with boys and girls through the sport. So this past summer, in July, Alan brought a team over back to St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, and our children attended the camp, and they were just absolutely thrilled. Now, we have a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old. Our 8-year-old was just couldn't wait for Coaching for Christ to come and for her to be a part of this. And our 13-year-old was, well, you know, we'll go and we'll see how it is. Well, the first day they came home on a Monday from the camp, and they just talked nonstop about it. Our 13-year-old son couldn't wait to go back, neither could our 8-year-old daughter. And after about the second or third day, every day they come home just beaming about Coaching for Christ. The coaches were amazing. They're very friendly. They know what they're doing in their drills and in their games and stuff. But they said, the neat thing is during the session, and the session was only 2 hours, they actually sat us down and they talked to us about different aspects of God's love and Jesus' love for us and how he came to earth and died for us as sinners. Now, we're blessed that both of our children have already made a profession of faith in younger years, so we're blessed that they are Christians. But to know that that is the core of Coaching for Christ, that makes all the difference. We have a lot of programs in Canada, tons and tons of sport programs, but you've never seen a sport program like Coaching for Christ puts on that their main focus is the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, soccer's fun, football's fun, but that's like a bonus part of it, because the main purpose they are there is to share the love of Christ with them. I did, or was able to go and sit through one of the sessions with them, and I think it was Jess was given the message that day, and no clearer message of the gospel have I heard in years. I believe now the week that they were there, the impact that it's left, one boy did get saved. We praise the Lord for that. Now, I think they've left a lasting impression on the community. They were able to meet with this local St. Thomas Soccer Club, which is a big club in St. Thomas, because soccer is big in St. Thomas. Canada, it's starting to pick up, but in St. Thomas, where we live, which is just west of Toronto in Ontario, soccer is a big sport. So we're thankful that they came. We're thankful that God opened the door to come to Canada. And we look forward to them coming back next year, and we just thank the Lord for Coaching for Christ.
A little flavor of the trip that we had. And just a tremendous time for us, because we had many obstacles to overcome, really, in going out there, because normally in the summertime, the church, the faith church, they would run a sports camp. Kids would come for 6-7 hours a day. They would do different sports, because really the mentality out there is of parents is that, well, if you're going to take my child for a couple of hours, take them all day. That's the thinking of parents. They can go off, drop them off on the way there, and then go off to work and lift them on the way home again. And we had to convince the Canadians that we only do 2 hours, and it does have an impact, and it is effective. And we eventually got there. We got them narrowed down to the 2 hours, and just had a tremendous time. And I think one of the encouragements for us was at the end of it, actually one of the ladies who organized the previous camp, she came to us and she said to us, or we were doing a camp review, and she said to us, she says, in all my years, and she's been involved 10 years, she says, this is the first time I've never heard a child complain at camp. And I thought that was lovely. And then she turned and she said, well, actually, there was a complaint. She says, the only complaint from the kids was, is that it over already? And so that was a real encouragement to us. But we rejoice in, as I say, those who came along. We had about 55 kids who came every morning, and there we coached them and shared the gospel with them. And one young lad who trusted the Savior on the Tuesday morning, in fact, going home from the coaching session, his mom was a Christian, and going home on the Tuesday morning, and really he got mum to stop the car so that she could pray with him, because he wanted to get saved before he got home. And do pray for that. Pray for the camp. Pray for the soccer club. That was something that was mentioned by the parent there, because in the evenings we were free, and we wanted to do something that would help maybe numbers for next year as well. And in one way, soccer is small, and in other ways, it's absolutely massive out there. Technically, they're still not the best. Well, certainly the boys, actually. The girls are really good at it. We coached six teams over three evenings. And the best team of them all was the under-16 girls team. They were first class. So they would have beaten the boys team no problem whatsoever, the under-16, under-17 boys team. And but we went in. We weren't able to share the gospel, but we went in to be a light for the gospel. The amazing thing about the soccer club is this, we think they're way behind us, but actually in the soccer club there's over 2,000 players in the soccer club between boys and girls and adults. And we got the opportunity, say, just to coach six of the junior teams, and tremendous response to it all. This is the head coach with us, Phil. What we were told after that was that he wasn't a bit pleased at first about us going there. He couldn't understand why he, as the head coach of the local soccer club, wasn't asked to do the coaching at the soccer camp at the church. But he's not a believer. And he couldn't understand why the church would bring somebody from Northern Ireland. But by the end of the week, we had won him over, and that's him. He presented us with St. Thomas Soccer Club tops and told us that whenever we're back, make sure that we go back and coach in the club again. Pray for him. Pray for the president of the club. The president of the club, we learned something. In fact, the church ones learned something really interesting about him. There's a couple of ones in the church who coach one of the teams in the club. And whenever they approached him before we ever set foot in Canada, they approached him about getting some of the equipment. And he gave it to them. But on the Thursday morning of the week that we were there, one of the coaches was talking to the president. And the president said to him, he says, yous are a bit slow in asking about things here for four things. And the fellow says, well, he says, yes. He says, you know, we're Christians, and in the club we're not allowed to share the gospel. And the president said to him, he says, I want to tell you something. And it's something that many have never heard. He says, I made a profession when I was a young boy. He says, I grew up in a Baptist church, got saved when I was a young boy. He says, I know I'm not walking the way I should be. But he says, I know what you're all about as a church. He says, don't you be afraid to come and ask for anything. He says, in fact, next year, he says, I would love to see a lot of these kids from our club go to your soccer camp at the church. And that's why we did it. We're praying that next year kids will come and that they will hear the gospel. And his young lad himself actually came to the camp and absolutely loved it. And so say, pray for us as we plan for next year. Pray that the Lord will bless us as we plan that and go back next year. We'll see many more kids, many unchurched kids that will come along to it. And there they will hear the gospel. I've lost a signal. You couldn't just touch the screen there. We'll move on. Almost finished. Because next year, really, already we're planning for it. Hit it again there, please. 2017. Put the question mark there. We're planning it. Pray for wisdom, but we need people to come and to help us. And as I say, people to stand with us financially as well. All these things cost money. We seek to help those that we go to work with, particularly in the poorer parts of the world. And that is our project now for the winter time, to try and raise money for our overseas trips so that we can help particularly missionaries who are struggling. There's many missionaries around the world are struggling financially and in different ways, and some can't afford to have us. But if we can, if we can help them financially, well, it allows us to go into work in their situations. I haven't time to speak about Spain tonight. I've been in Valmalaga quite a bit, and we go there to help the missionaries out there who are with another agency and who are helping pastor a church. But we seek to help them financially as well. Spain, we think of the sunshine, the good weather, we think of the holidays, great climate and so forth, but Spain is suffering financially from the recession, from the collapse of 2008, and the missionaries are trying to reach out to families, and kids that we're coaching come from really difficult backgrounds. Some of them have lost their houses. Their parents lost their houses because they lost their jobs. There's no welfare system in Spain, so they weren't able to pay their mortgage and they lost their homes. And the church that we're working with is trying to help a number of families. The leaflet is out on the table. There's also our training academy up and running. We have 3 full-time students for it this year, but it's open to part-time. If you're free during the daytime, no matter what age you are, you'd love to study God's Word. There's the topics there on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. It's £60 per module. One of the examples, we have a number of others that join us for the Old Testament survey on a Tuesday afternoon. A couple of retired ladies all come to that. And as I say, we've only started the class, so you're welcome to come and join in any of our classes. And as I say, there study the Word of God in more depth. And I think that's it. Just our prayer card is out on the table as well. So say you may have that. If you pray for us, we really do appreciate it. For us as a family, for us as an organization. And then just the one final thank you. On the back of it is our own support. I mentioned this back in January time. And God has been so good. It was Project 100 back then. It's now PS10, Prayer Support 10. £10 a month, and I have no salary. None of us have any salaries. We look to the Lord to meet our needs. And if you'd like to support us as a family at £10 a month, and you, as I say, the details are in the back of our prayer card. If you're a taxpayer, there's a link there that you can just Google, and that'll take you straight to the site which an organisation can claim gift aid and forward that. They forward that to us as well. And as I say, everything goes through stewardship. The prayer cards are there. Say, most of all, we value your prayers and say for all of the work. And hopefully that's been an encouragement to you this evening. Thank you for your help there. We're not going to go on to Spain tonight, otherwise I'll be here all night. God has been blessing. In fact, whenever we've added up sort of one or some of our younger coaches have sort of been keeping a record of how many kids have come to the Saviour. And what we know is that from the beginning of June, end of May, beginning of June, there's now over 100 kids that have come to the Saviour, which has just been absolutely amazing. And we rejoice in that. Give God the glory. He alone can save. But what a privilege it is that we can be involved. And as I say, we're just seeking to obey Him. Obey Him with going forth with the gospel. And what a blessing it is whenever God works in response to it all. And He works in lives. Say, many stories of kids coming to the Savior. Not only kids who've actually got saved at the camp. What we know is quite often there's been kids who've gone home and trusted the Savior. I think of one young boy down in Bangor. What did he do? Well, he went home, and that night he climbed in under his bed to make sure that he had peace and quiet so he could ask God to save him. And just to hear then them kids come in the next day and tell the coaches, tell us how that they have asked the Lord to save them. And many of them have done that at home this year, and we praise God for that.